I have a few special guests in the studio here with me. Can you guys introduce yourselves?
Good morning, everyone. I am Jesper Rasmussen of the Danish Navy, so representing Denmark here today on Constitution Day. I am a commander senior grade in the Danish Navy for the last 30 plus years.
Good morning, everybody. This is Colin Tozzi speaking from Italy. I'm the deputy NMR here at SHAPE, about 1 year on station. Glad to be here.
Yo, 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 good morning, good morning. This is Lieutenant Colonel Nathaniel Tucker. I am the deputy NMR for the U.S. And a part of the U.S. Army, the greatest service on the planet. Over.
Awesome, yeah. So we're going to be jumping right into it. So starting with Denmark, what is your background history of your country's National Day?
Well, Denmark is an interesting country in this regard because Denmark comes out of a long tradition of a ruling monarchy, one of the oldest in the world. But as the democratic swing in some of the leading states of Europe started out in the late 17 and early 1800s, also Denmark went to democracy and we established our constitution on the 1884-5, I believe.
Wow, that's amazing. And what about you, sir? What about Italy's National Day? What is the background history of it?
Well, we have one National Day, but I guess the most important one is the 2nd of June. We just celebrated it here on SHAPE. Maybe people listening have been taking part in the celebration here on base. So 2nd of June is the day when the Republic basically was born. That's the date it's considered that the Republic of Italy was born. It's the day when Italians were called to polls and choose between monarchy and Republic, basically. The new country was born, and that's why it's basically important for our nation.
Starting with Denmark, how do folks from your country typically spend this day, and what are the traditions?
So, interestingly enough, the Constitution Day in Denmark is not a bank holiday, so most people are lucky enough to be at work on this day. But on some of the unions, though, have negotiated a day off on Constitution Day in Denmark, and there will be both political and patriotic speeches in parks in and around, and especially when Constitution Day falls on a Saturday or a Sunday, there'll be a big party in the center of Copenhagen in what we call the King's Yard, or Kongshave in Danish, which is the original park around one of the royal castles in Copenhagen, Rosenborg, where also there will be various festive activities. Of course, there will be beers and foods and speeches and music, and it's typically a really good day, especially if it falls on the summer day that year.
That kind of sounds like my kind of celebration there, but what about you, sir? What about Italy's National Day? How do you usually spend it?
Well, I forgot to say it was 1946, the year that basically Italians voted for the Republic anyway. It's 2nd of June in Italy is pretty much similar to 14th of July in France or 4th July in the United States. So it's a big celebration. It is a day off, so I think we are luckier than our friend Danish here. Usually it's good weather in June in Italy, just like here today in Mons. We are lucky here. It starts with an official ceremonial celebration, Piazza Venezia in Rome, where with the solemn flag raising at the Altare della Patria. The Altare della Patria is the big white marble monument in Piazza Venezia, where basically the unknown soldier has been buried after the First World War. So the homage to the unknown soldier with the deposition of a wreath by the President of the Republic, with the presence of highest officials of the states, like President of the Senate, the Parliament, and so on, the ministers. And then you got the Mamhele hymn, and of course, then you have the military parade with all the armed forces, being parading in front of the President of the Republic, and then the ceremony ends with the passage of the Freccia Tricolore, the Italian acrobatic teams with the biggest tricolore in the world, we know. made of them smoke. After that, you know, it's people just like to celebrate, like, as I said, other countries do. So museums and official buildings, like, you know, government and actually the Quirinale, the presidential building, is open to public, so you can visit. And, of course, you get people going out and spend time outside, usually in the countryside, barbecuing, grilling, and having fun with friends and families.
So first question I'm going to be asking is, how do you plan to spend your National Day this year, starting with Denmark?
Yeah, so we actually had our National Day, our Constitution Day, yesterday. And being here, where it's not a general holiday, it's a great opportunity for me to spend some time with my wife without the three little critters roaming around and taking all the attention. So that gives a good opportunity to have a nice meal and to relax together and actually try to enjoy being here and have a little private time. So that's not a bad way to spend your Constitution Day.
Not at all. That sounds pretty relaxing, actually. What about you, sir? How was your National Day?
As I said before, we just did it. 2nd June just went by, and we did that with a kind of big celebration here on base at the Shape Tent. We divide that in an official initial part with an official ceremony, you know, the flag raising. All the military members in service dress, uniform, and families. It was pretty quick, but, you know, solemn. If you can call that solemn, you know. We tried to replicate what basically it's been done back home. And then, of course, it was party. Food, live music, staying together with friends and family. I heard it was a kind of success. People liked it. It went by till like 11:30 at night. Again, I keep on hearing people saying it was fun and looking forward for next year. So for those who are listening, and if you've been there and you enjoyed it, thank you for being there and make it a great day, a great celebration. We hope to see you next year as well and to celebrate with us. Thank you.
Starting with Denmark, where should people go first if they want to visit your country for the first time?
Yeah, so being from Zealand in Denmark and just grew up just south of Copenhagen, I would of course say that Copenhagen is the place you should go in Denmark. It will be the place where you have the most variety and a very, very beautiful low city to spend your time in. But there are ways and things that you can do in Denmark that goes far beyond Copenhagen. Going through Denmark, you can almost venture through the whole country on the Viking trail and see the different heritage sites from what we are a little bit proud of, the Vikings, still. However, we now understand that they are a little bit viewed as being not as friendly and forthcoming as we might think from a Scandinavian viewpoint. However, there are a lot of interesting sites to see, so I would definitely recommend that. Another good thing to experience in Denmark would be food culture. The Danish food scene has been up and coming over the last couple of decades, and that would be a very great way to experience local produce and local talent in that scene as well.
I always love trying food no matter where I go, so I will definitely look into that. What about you, sir? Where should people go first time if they want to visit your country for the first time?
That's the hardest question you might have asked me, because, you know, anywhere in Italy is a good place to visit. I'm trying to, you know, of course I'm going to talk good about my country, but I don't want to show off. It's basically, it all depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for culture, of course, usual places to go are Florence, Rome, for an obvious reason. If you're looking for food, you can go anywhere, because every region, every area has their own you know, peculiar and characteristic food. Wine, it's not like wine or spumante, that's what we call champagne. It's you can have Chianti, you can have Brunello, you can have Merlot, Franciacorta, you can have, you know, you name it, and I keep on going. So, and again, are you flying, are you driving? So it all depends on this kind of stuff to consider. Usually when people ask me, where to go, I asked them back, how long do you have? If you had 2 days, just pick one big city, which might be Rome, Florence, Venezia. Usually people go to Venice, but they never go southern than Rome. I suggest you guys to go southern than Rome, Naples. Napoli is a beautiful city. It's my own city, by the way, hometown. Or you can keep on going southern than Naples. There are beautiful places. Lecce is down to the south on the hill of the boot. And Lecce is the Florence of the Baroque, if you like to see that kind of culture things. So where would you go? Rome is the most popular, and Venice are probably the most popular places people might go. But anywhere is a good place to visit, and you'll find definitely something to visit and something interesting to see and to eat and, of course, drink.
Starting with Denmark, sir, what do you miss most about home?
Well, it's difficult to say, because what is home to people? It's different things to different people. For me, what I would miss of home is some of the reliving some of the memories that I have that are good, like being able to take a long stroll along the coast and look over the ocean, even on a semi-warm or cold day with a little bit of rain. That can be extraordinarily beautiful. I miss being able to spend time going hunting with my family, which were great memories I had growing up. Fortunately, now I'm able to go fishing with my girls instead, and I can build little on my own memories and hopefully build a little for them. And of course, going to a restaurant and being able to get some good open-faced Danish sandwiches is also one of the greatest things, I believe, with Denmark, the lunch culture. I'm fortunate enough to have a wife that have learned to make all of these things from scratch, so I can enjoy it a little bit abroad. But living abroad, one of the things that you learn is sometimes you realize that you also miss the easiness of understanding everything in the system you're living in. Living abroad and adapting to a new way of life and a new way of organizing bureaucracy is always difficult and challenging for people. So sometimes on a day I can miss to know exactly how to use the doctors or get an appointment at the hospital or these little things that makes life easy. But all in all, I think that living abroad is great, and I think that there are great things by Denmark in the way that this is set up as well that people could enjoy.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Some might argue that home is where your family is, so maybe you aren't missing home too much because you have your family with you. But what about you, sir? What do you miss most about home?
Well, it's pretty much the same as our friend from Denmark here. I mean, of course, family and friends. But right now, the first thing that pops up in my mind is the weather. I definitely miss the weather, which it's something you need to do whatever you mentioned before. I mean, go out with friends, family, enjoy whatever you have in whatever place, city, town, wherever you live, countryside, or big city. You know, if you have good weather, you're basically able to go out and enjoy life and whatever the place you are offers you, okay? But other than that, friends and family. Take the chance to say hi to my friends in Ferrara and my friends in Aviano that maybe are listening. You never know. Ciao, guys.
Starting with you, sir, at Denmark, what is something unique about your country that others might not know?
Well, I'm going to go a little off the beaten track here and say the fewest people know that there are more pigs than humans in Denmark. I think that in itself is a telling detail about my country. It's probably also why some of the world's best bacon and pork comes out of Denmark. But just a little shout out to the industry there. The same as a dairy country as well, we have special... we've had a long tradition as dairy farmers in Denmark, and those that immigrated from Denmark to, amongst other places, the US, especially Minnesota, brought these dairy traditions with them, and also a little bit of the language. So you can still find remnants of Danish ways of speaking in Minnesota, which most people would not know. So these are some little traits of my country that people doesn't know. Finally, I think that people should know that in Denmark it was... During early in the agricultural state, it was illegal to serve your people salmon more than three times a week because it was so abundant in its presence in the Baltic area. So these are some little things that people might not know about Denmark.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's insane. That's really cool. Well, what about you, sir, and over in Italy? What is something unique about your country that others might not know?
I'll start with something probably funny. People usually think that garlic is the main ingredient of all the Italian recipe. No, I mean, a little bit, yes, but not everywhere, just like cinnamon. Usually we don't put cinnamon in the tomato sauce, except for some very small regions, especially like in the north, you know, that you might use cinnamon to basically take the wild taste of the hog or the wild animals that you use, you know, the meat to make the sauce. So, but it's just, you know, very peculiar. Other than that, I think everybody is familiar with my country. I mean, know what my country is all about. Something else, Italy used to be, as I said before, divided in small regions and small states. So you have dialects that are very important in each region of Italy. So you have different accents and different way to say things and words and meaning that the people give to the words. So something that you might use in the north might mean something slightly different in the south, and also the pronunciation of the word. So people might be careful about what they hear, and because it might be misunderstood or misused. If Italians try to teach you some Italian words, be careful, make sure you know what it means, because they might be making fun of you. So you might be going around in the street saying something bad to people, and you don't want to do that anyway. Just kidding, of course.
Starting with you, sir, over in Denmark, have you visited the U.S., and where has your favorite place been, or where would you like to visit?
So, yeah, I've visited the U.S. quite substantially. I cheat a little bit because my wife is from California. She's a Bruin from SoCal, always lived in the hot and sunny 78 and sunshine every day. But I've visited all 50 states of the U.S. I have been in all states. I've traveled and seen the U.S. primarily by car. My current car has visited 46 states of the U.S. and all of my children 49. So I would say that I feel that I've had a look at U.S. and I've really liked what I see. Strangely enough, with my wife being Californian, California will be my favorite state, of course, honey. But Alaska and the Dakotas, Idaho, the Middle States, Wyoming, all of these states have something to show and some special about them that makes them absolutely extraordinary. Walking through New York, going through Brooklyn, these places, there are something to experience and something to learn at any corner. So for all of these, there are something good. And I can only encourage people to get in the car and get on the road and go meet people. You'll be astonished on how friendly and well you'll be received everywhere. So, and also for this and for today, I thank you for having me here in the studio. It's been a great pleasure, and I've enjoyed the opportunity to tell a little bit of my country and learn a little bit about Italy along the way. So thank you very much for that.
Of course, yeah. It's been an honor learning about your country as well. What about you, sir? Have you visited the U.S.? Where has your favorite place been, or where would you like to visit?
I would say, what's the place I would like to visit again? I was stationed in the States. We lived, I and my family lived over there for a total like 6 years. Our second son was born there. So Texas was our home place. So I might not sound popular right now on the radio for people, but anyway, we loved it. We had the chance to visit not all the states as it was lucky to do. I'm missing a lot of places, of course. I'm missing the parks like Yellowstone, the Yosemite. I'm missing all the Northwest, so Idaho in a part. But we definitely got the chance to visit the major places like, you know, the big city, New York, Los Angeles, so California, San Diego, I'm missing the Keys in the Florida area. So, and of course, being there as a flyer, as an Air Force guy, I had the chance to fly somewhere with my students and then to the chance to visit and see places I had never seen before. So I would like to go back, of course. You never know. Thanks for hosting me here. Thanks for letting me know about Denmark's things I didn't know, and it was a great pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed it as well.
Of course, yeah. What about you, Major Tucker? Where would you recommend going?
You know, I'm always going to recommend my hometown, you know. So if you find yourself in the wonderful sunny south of the United States, there's this wonderful city called Atlanta, Georgia. Could you please stop by whenever you get a chance? It's a wonderful time. I'd like to thank Denmark and Italy for representing your countries well. We are better because you are a part of our NATO allies, and we look forward to working with you in the future. But before I leave, I got to give a shout out to the baddest army on the planet. Our birthday is next week, June 14th. 249 years of outstanding service on God's green earth, sticking the boot to whoever wants it, you know. But we love you, and for all my deployed members, I love you. Come back home safe. All right.